May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a couple weeks ago, I preached on the psalm for the first time here at St. Paul's. And when I did, I told you all that the psalms are songs, but different kind of songs than we're used to. They're not like a pop song. They are like the kind of song you sing when there's a mess on the floor and your children, you want to get them to clean up. And so you're looking at the Legos and you say, clean up, everybody everywhere, clean up, everyone together. Everybody do your share. Someone sings that and there's a mess in front of you, you are implicated by that song. The singer expects you to do something, and that's what the psalms are like. They implicate the hearers. Now, this can get complicated though, because the psalms, while they're beautiful and poetic, they are from another time and another place. And sometimes the references in the psalms can just go over our head to the point that we can miss sometimes what the psalm is saying. It's like if you've ever tried to teach a child or a non-English speaker what some of our metaphors and idioms mean, but it's outside their experience of life. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I don't ride a lot of horses. What does that mean? I don't get that. Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, honey. Dad, why do you have birds in your hands? Like, why are you holding them? You know what I'm talking about? They can be complicated, okay? So the Psalms are also like that, and boy, almost nowhere is it more evident than Psalm 23. We heard a beautiful rendition of it today. You've heard this psalm before, right? Even if you're not into God, Bible, Jesus, church, you've heard Psalm 23. You've seen it airbrushed on a plaque, maybe written on a bathroom stall. I don't know. Like, it ends up all kinds of places. And you know this text. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside still waters. Who can argue with that? However, the radicalness of the imagery can get lost on us sometimes. First observation, in the ancient Near East, shepherds were not middle-aged men with beards. Most of the evidence points to the fact that shepherds were not people that looked like me, except with hair and beards. Shepherds were, by and large, young boys, if they were male at all, or teenage and tween-age girls. So is there like a 10-year-old girl here in the room? How old are you, sweetie? Eight? Can you come here for a second? Okay, so the Lord is my shepherd. Is this the image of shepherd that you have? No. And yet it's compelling, isn't it? Curtsy for us. I'll curtsy too. All right, that's good stuff. Can we give her a hand? So, the Lord is my shepherd. God is like a kid. God is like a young girl. And what is this shepherd doing? Well, this shepherd has got a flock. The shepherd's got sheep, maybe goats, and are guiding them, you know, doing what shepherds do, taking them places. Now, the place that shepherds do this kind of work in the both the current and ancient Near East is kind of treacherous terrain. It's in the desert, okay? But it's not a desert that looks like the Sahara with big sand dunes. The kind of desert that the psalmist was referring to is something that looks a lot more like the American Southwest. So Arizona, New Mexico, Southwest Colorado, parts of West Texas. Rocky, arid, hot land, little scrubby bushes, thorny places, okay? So not sweeping sand dune, I mean, it's bad enough, but just craggy, rocky areas that are difficult to traverse. Have you ever seen this landscape? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Has anyone been there? Anyone been to the Negev? Yeah, a couple people. That's what it looks like, right? It's that kind of cracky thing. So, what's fascinating is if you think about our shepherd guiding sheep in that land, the question that you have to ask is, what are the sheep eating? If it's all rocks and little thorny, like, what do they eat? Is there a PetSmart somewhere where you can go quick get some sheep food? Is there? I don't know. Is there a PetSmart? No. There's not. Here's what happens. The Negev, hot, arid, dry. It's 110, 120 degrees there at the heat of the day, and the sun is just baking down on these rocks that are on the embankments of these wadis. And what happens is about the same time of day, in the afternoon, every day, these west winds start to blow, and they come in off the Mediterranean. And because they're coming off the sea, they're really moist and humid. And these humid air gusts hit those hot, hot rocks, and condensation starts to form. And it trickles down along the side of the rocks in some places and catches the dirt along the edges of these rocky embankments. And what happens then is when the sun goes down and it cools off, at night, little tufts of grass grow up. Just little, and we're not talking like thick fescue, like I'm sure your lawn looks like, not mine. It's like the little, just little tufts of grass, just small little blades, right? Enough for a mouthful for a sheep. Enough for one mouthful for a goat. And the shepherd is looking for these because these are called the green pastures of the shepherd. So when the psalm talks about a shepherd that's leading sheep to green pastures, it is not, as we sometimes imagine, rolling North Carolina farmland where it's beautiful and there's probably bacon and there's a silo that's full of grain in abundance and there's more than we could ever need or want, just plenty. The picture of the green pasture is little grass, enough for a mouthful, because you've got, with the green pastures, all that you need for today. That's the promise of the green pasture. It's not tomorrow, it's not the next day, but it is exactly what you need for right now. The shepherd knows where this is. And the shepherd leads the sheep there, and then, what does the psalm say that the shepherd asks or makes the sheep to do in these green pastures? They lie down. Some of you are way ahead of the sheep. I can see you up in the balcony. They lie down. Because what does it mean to lie down? What does that symbolize if you're lying down? You're at peace. You're at rest. If you're in danger, you better be on alert. You're standing. You're watching. You're pacing because you're worried. We might not have what we need. There might be danger. There could be a predator. Not with this shepherd. This shepherd takes you to the green pastures, and you lie down. There is a rest on offer with this shepherd that just seems to defy all conventional wisdom. Because for us, if you're like me, you feel like your peace and your rest and your relief from anxiety will come when your hands are full with abundance. You'll feel like, if I have everything I need for tomorrow and next week, and I'm locked, I've got next month totally locked up, and probably ahead of next year, then I can rest. And we spend our lives working to try to accomplish this kind of thing. And what happens is, we're always up and on the move, and we're looking, and we're standing, and we're moving quickly. And this psalm says, there's a shepherd that can lead you to green pastures. And there is a trust and there's a peace that comes not from having your hands full, but the peace that you're looking for actually comes from just trusting the shepherd. Because the shepherd knows where the next green pasture is. The shepherd knows exactly what you need and how to get it to you. You don't have to take care of it yourself. And in that place, my friends, we find the shalom of God, the peace of God. It doesn't come from having our hands full. It comes from trusting the shepherd. Is there anybody here for whom not knowing that everything was going to be okay tomorrow or next week, not knowing what was going to happen after graduation, not knowing whether the kids were going to be okay or you were going to be able to take care of this problem, you don't have X, Y, and Z settled, is there anybody here that recognizes that dynamic in their life, but it would be good news to know that there was peace that could be had in spite of those things being unresolved. Would that be good news for anybody here? Yeah. It might be all right. That's the promise of the shepherd. Trust the shepherd. And so I think maybe the question becomes, that sounds really good, Dixon, and I want to remember that, but could I get a cue? Could I get some sort of action item? Come on, St. Paul, like, give me some action items to do for my faith here. How do I remember this? I would say to remember this, to have this come back to us, to embrace this promise of the shepherd. Let's be guided by the image of the shepherd that we brought up at the very beginning of the sermon. Can I get your daughter to stand up again? What's your name? Mary Elizabeth, can you stand up for us? I would say, Mary, you are just rocking this. I love how you are completely fearless. Every time we pass a child, here in church, you're walking up for communion, you see him in the choir, Mary Elizabeth sitting right here, may it be a reminder to us of the posture that we take with the shepherd. Kids are totally dependent, are they not? But you know what else they are? They're free. They're not worried about what's coming next, unless you're watching the news with your parents, are you? The news doesn't help, does it? They don't want you to lie down in the green pastures. They're like, be on alert, you are in danger at all times. Buy our advertising. When we see a kid, we see, oh, this is the picture. This is the picture of faith. This is the shepherd. Total dependence, total trust, and the peace that you're looking for, the relief from anxiety, doesn't come from having your hands full, from having it all together, from having everything planned, every I dotted, every T crossed. It just comes from trusting the shepherd. Amen? Amen.